Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Using one of our favorite terms in this program, or the style of it, I'm in depression mode right now because Jim Thome is gone from Philadelphia. He's now a Baltimore Oriole, which is okay. I mean, at least he's not far away. It just means my Jim Thome jersey is now back to what it was last season, worth absolutely nothing. But it's a nice vintage jersey. Philly's also getting rid of Chad Qualls, sending him to the Yankees. And the rumor is that they are actively shopping Cole Hamels as well. And we'll check in with Steve and see if he has any thoughts on where Cole Hamels may go. One of the thoughts is that maybe Pittsburgh would have an opportunity to pick him up. Rumor has it, though, that the Phillies are looking for an awful lot of players, young talent, in return. Maybe four or five young players in return. Obviously, Phillies haven't officially become sellers yet, but it's looking more and more like they will. Because usually around this time, that's when their developmental people are starting to scout teams, not only for young talent, but also for guys that they can pick up and maybe make a difference in the year. And we just haven't really seen that or heard anything about that this year with the Phillies. So they may be indeed sellers before the end of this month. At Wimbledon, Maria Sharapova is gone as well. She was the top seed in the Wimbledon tournament, and for the second consecutive Grand Slam, she is gone, ousted by a number 15 seed in a windy, rainy fourth-round match in straight sets, 6-4, 6-3. Roger Federer on the men's side did advance, however. He had to go and stave off a comeback from the opponent he was had, a four-set match. He now officially makes the quarterfinals himself. So that's the latest from Wimbledon. We'll talk a little bit about what's been going on at the swimming venue as Michael Phelps gives up the 200 free and will be in seven events in London. I'm sure this is really depressing NBC right about now, but Michael Phelps will be removing the individual 200 freestyle from his Olympic program. It'll give him a full slate of seven events. And he could possibly chase after 10 medals was the first discussion that people in the swimming world were talking about. But now it looks like a definite seven, one less than the eight that he snared in 08. So he'll have seven opportunities. His coach spread the news on Twitter this morning that he was knocking off the 200-meter freestyle from his regiment heading into London. Said he can't get to the mixed zone to ask any questions because his coach was actually on the East Coast, and everything, of course, right now going on swimming-wise in Omaha. So he's going to have to just take care of that right now the way it is. So we'll see if we can find out more about that a little bit later on. As I said, one of the things I absolutely love about the every 4 years is the Olympic moment. I love watching every minute of the Olympics. I will DVR everything I possibly can because I absolutely love the fact that you work your whole life for one particular moment every 4 years. And at best, you get one shot, maybe two if you're lucky. And sometimes you don't even qualify for the Olympics by just a few tenths of a point, as we were talking about last week in some of the diving events from Nebraska from a couple of the last few weeks as well. So looks like the third place in the women's 100 is going to be decided by a race-off. NBC ecstatic about this because now they can really promote this. There was some discussion that they were going to, you know, file grievances or whatever you want to call it, but it looks like now it's going to be an official race-off that's going to happen in the next few days. I'll get you the details on that a little bit later on as well as we set things up for what will be a busy week in sports and a busy month in sports, too, with the London Olympics coming. course, coverage completely on NBC. We hope to have some folks from NBC chatting with us a little bit more about the Olympics. That's all coming up here on the Steve Jones Show. And as we have always on the Steve Jones Show, Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors studio momentarily to chat with you about whatever you want, whether it's Phillies baseball, the Mets, the Yankees. Yankees making a move to get Chad Qualls from the Phillies for either a player to be named later or cash.
Obviously, you're out.
I'm out?
Oh, sure, you're out.
I'm out of what?
Being a Philly fan.
Oh, well, we talked about that last week. After getting swept by the Marlins, it just made it automatic. It just finished. I am now going to watch Pirates games.
Look, you're the one that told everybody Jim Thome was the answer.
I did not say he was the answer. I said I was happy to have him back in Philly. As I said moments ago, my jersey now is worth what it was last year at this time. My Jim Thome Phillies jersey. Absolutely nothing.
Well, they got two minor leaguers for him. The pitcher I like, by the way.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
A-ball pitch. Single A is where he's at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. But he has potential.
Will he be coming to Williamsport? Have you heard anything about that yet? Or will he move to somewhere else?
It's going to depend on what they have.
Okay.
At what level. It's all going to depend.
And the Phillies looking for youth at catcher, the way it looks, too.
Sure. Well, they have, the Phillies. It's one thing the Phillies have had. Of course, they used Darnold in the trade for Halliday. But the Sebastian Valle kid's really good. Really good. And I think he has the potential. He's not the everyday starter with the Reading Phillies, but still good looking player. And I think he's only 21 years old.
By the way, not to change the subject, but we were talking about this moments ago with, Tarmrow is how her name's pronounced. In the 100-meter runoff, she is conceded now the final spot in the Olympic 100 rather than racing against Allison Felix.
Did she qualify in the 200?
I believe that is the case, yes. But she was using the 100 as kind of a warm-up, but the controversy in the 100 overshadowed the entire trials pretty much. And nearly a week later, there was still no decision on what was going to happen.
Right. Well, see, that was the hope, that she would qualify in the 200. And by qualifying in the 200, that would then take away any of the controversy. In other words, that means they both get to go.
Let's see. The email sent through her agent said that I understand that this is a decision. I'm no longer running in the 100-meter dash in the Olympic Games and will be an alternate for the event. Felix, the other racer that we were talking about, Allison Felix, now will race both in the 1 and 200. So it was Felix that was actually already in for the 200. She'll run the 100 and the 200. Charmo didn't qualify in the 200, but is eligible to run the Olympic 400-meter relay.
Right. Well, so, I mean, that solved itself. That's what we like.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. I would have rather seen them run off again. That would have been very entertaining. I mean,
Would have been entertaining, but why bother? They're both going to make it.
I know, but look at what it would have done for U.S. track and field.
What?
I mean, to have this tonight, a runoff, an exclusive runoff. That would be great. As you called a match race.
What would it have done?
Created interest.
In what way? To see who gets the third spot?
It would have created interest, period.
It's not Ben Johnson against Carl Lewis.
I realize that. But
you're talking 10 seconds here.
You would not have watched this.
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I thought sure you were. I would have watched. I mean, I like the Olympics, so I would have watched it automatically. But
I like the Olympics. It's just I'm not bowled over by them anymore. Used to be, in the Olympics, I mean, I was, but for some reason, I'm not bowled over by the Olympics much anymore.
Is it the professional amateurs thing?
No, I never liked the amateur thing.
I never did either, but a lot of people say that's why they don't like it.
to me, the best athletes should be out there. And you should be allowed to be an athlete and get some paper for it.
So. I'll tell you what, who gets really in trouble on this one is the fact that NBC was really promoting this and now it's gone.
That's okay. They promoted I'll have another two. And
well, exactly. There's a great point. They were working on that for two straight weeks and then like 24 hours earlier, gone.
Yeah, well, that happens. That happens.
Okay, I didn't mean to change the subject there, but I wanted to clarify.
No, that's fine. I'm more than happy to talk about the Olympics. Look, I think the Olympics, they're great. The competition's great. The politics isn't. I think I started losing my edge on the Olympics in 1980 when we didn't go, which was then followed in 84 when the Soviets and the Eastern Bloc didn't go, except for, I believe, Romania.
Right.
And I was like, okay. Whatever. I didn't like, for example, there's certain things you don't like about them. I like the international competition part of it. I can't stand the opening ceremonies. I can't stand the closing ceremonies.
I admit, I do not like those either. It goes on forever.
Goes on and on and on. Look, just march in, do right. The Olympic oath. I mean, you know what? It's like singing the national anthem, all right? You know the best national anthem ever played at a Super Bowl was the Grambling Band. They did it in 57 seconds. They were done, and everyone's like, hey, great, moved on. You know, I'm sorry. Known recording. They'll just sing it, kick it off.
Wow, that is almost unpatriotic here coming up on July 4th.
Look, nobody's more patriotic than I am. It's just, but some people turn it in and they change it around.
Okay, well, that's a different story now. Now, making it your own, that's wrong. I agree.
Just sing the anthem.
Just sing the dang song.
All right. I mean, the best national anthems I hear are on the podium for the gold medal. I mean, really.
Yeah,
it's simple. It's simple and to the point. I don't need a production number.
Well, NBC also got some more bad news that I was just talking about. Phelps is now dropping the 200, so now he'll swim in seven events, which will not match his goals from a year ago or even better. But that's a little bit of a negative for them. They were banking on Phelps in that first week.
Yes and no. If he was only going to swim in three events.
Oh, that'd be worse.
Okay, but he's swimming in seven events. All right. That's fine. You know, once it goes in there, people are interested. I mean, there's too much. Well, of course, it's an individual sport. But there's, in the promoting of events, it's not good enough to have, let's pick the NBA, Utah playing Milwaukee. It has to be Karl Malone, John Stockton. There has to be a front name on the marquee of individuals. It's not enough that they're swimming in the Olympic 200 and there are three Americans swimming at it. Watch Michael Phelps. Right? You know, and I've met Phelps. I've spent time with Phelps. Good guy. You know, I know he's had a couple of issues here and there, but that's just a question of growing up.
Did you have a sub with him? Did you have a sub with him?
No, I did not have a sub with him, no. He and I did an event together. I was the MC, and I interview him and so forth, and you know, I liked him. I mean, he's a nice guy. It was right after Beijing.
Would you like to take a stab at the most popular Olympic sports via Twitter? What's trending the most?
By way of Twitter?
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, Twitter's worldwide. I was not really surprised by this.
I'm going to say Olympic soccer.
That is incorrect. I would have said Olympic soccer would have been in my top five as well, but the number one most tweeted Olympic sport is gymnastics.
Curling?
No, that's winter.
Curling.
That's a winner. No, gymnastics. Because it's very big worldwide.
Look, gymnastics is to the Summer Games what figure skating is to the Winter Games.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I completely understand why it is. Completely understand it. And there's a grace, there's a power to it. I've announced gymnastics probably 30, 40 times in my career on television. Men and women. Great events. I mean, the strength and the power and the speed needed. And then you get to the floor exercise, especially for the women, to music and the grace.
Balance, yeah.
It's incredible. And gymnastics, it should be. I only said soccer because the world just loves soccer.
Oh, yeah, well, and I would have guessed that would have been in the top five, too. But it's gymnastics followed by swimming, which obviously is the premier event in week one. Basketball is third. Track and field is fourth, which is the premier event in week two. And believe it or not, number five is tennis. Now, I'm wondering how much of that is Wimbledon and how much of that is Olympic tennis.
I would be willing to wager that most people cannot name who the last Olympic champions were in tennis.
I would tend to agree with that.
Hey, Jennifer Capriati, she never won a major, right?
I'd have to look that one up. I'm not sure on that one.
But she won an Olympic gold medal, though. She won a. By the way, Maria Sharapova out today at Wimbledon, the number one seed.
Gone.
Dara Torres gets final chance to make U.S. team.
This is my favorite story of all. I mean, I just talked about that moments ago. Normally, you get one shot at the Olympics, maybe two. Right. This will be
she 60 now?
45.
45 years old.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's a remarkable story.
Two finals contested tonight. One will involve her, and the 45-year-old will try to make her sixth Olympics.
Amazing.
Great story.
Right. Janet Evans, by the way, tried to come back and could not. She didn't make it.
Very good on the broadcast, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very solid. Very solid there. The Olympic Games, you are all Olympics all the time.
For the next couple months, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In the meantime, we'll talk sports. So whatever you people want to do. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Lenape Solar Hotline is open to you at 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So our question today, do you still love the Olympics? Are you looking forward to them? Are you, Kevin Herr, an Olympic junkie? In fact, what are you looking more forward to, the Olympics or NFL training camp?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's our question StevJonesShow.com. I didn't say the NFL season.
Right.
I said training camp.
That's still a tough one.
Well, I deliberately phrased it that way because I'm sure more people are looking forward to the NFL season than the Olympics.
Yeah, so, I would have to admit I would be there too, yeah.
So we'll slice it down to training camp. Since they'll be going on at the same time. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Should Ruben Amaro be fired?
Actually, that he found somebody to take Chad Qualls, I think he might be able to. He should be able to stay now.
Watch Chad Qualls excel.
You will love that, won't you?
I'll laugh.
You'll buy a Chad Qualls jersey.
I don't do those things.
No, but you will, just to spite me.
No, I don't do those things. I don't buy jerseys, period. I don't do that. Never have. Never bought a jersey.
I have one that I got for Christmas that had my own number on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. No, never bought a jersey. Never have. Have I bought a T-shirt here and there? Yeah, but never a jersey.
How about a T-shirt hat. Jersey?
Nope. Never have. Have hats. I have a couple Red Sox hats. And one time I was desperate at a Pirates game, and I went and I bought an Arizona Diamondbacks hat because the sun was killing me. And why, that's what they had.
Why? I was going to say, why a Diamondbacks hat?
Because that's what they had.
Okay.
It just turned out I went in there like, oh, it's like, okay, I want to get a hat here. So I have that. I have a Padres hat, but Rick Barry gave that to me.
He's different. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one of the he's part owner of the Padres, and he sent me a Padres hat and also a Padres pullover.
I question your loyalty though if you don't buy a jersey.
Question my loyalty?
Yeah, I question your loyalty if you're not willing to fork out the money to buy a jersey.
My loyalty?
Yeah.
So in other words, I have no loyalty to Penn State because I don't have a Penn State jersey?
No, I said I question it. I didn't say you didn't have any. I said I just question it.
You ever listen to the broadcast?
Once or twice, yeah.
Yeah. You gonna question my loyalty?
All right. Penn State aside, I'm talking about your loyalty to your teams like the Red Sox.
No.
Can you be a fan and not invest in the jersey? That's what I want to know.
Obviously,
you think so.
With complete ease.
I have to think about this one.
I can complete ease. I mean, I know that. The Phillies, they have not won a game since Chase Utley came back. You know that?
I do know that.
They haven't won a game yet. Now, I think Howard is going to Lehigh Valley. I can tell you right now, that's not the answer either.
No.
They're done.
Maybe back by the return of the All-Star.
They're done.
I'm not arguing with you.
They could have 8 wild cards. Done.
They're like a burger on the back of the grill on July 4th. Well done.
Oof. It's amazing. And I know I had some Pirate fans saying to me how upset they were that the Phillies ended up with more All-Stars than the Pirates did. I said, you have to understand, it's an individual deal. I said, McCutchen should be starting in the All-Star game. He really should be.
It was on my list, yeah.
He has no protection in the lineup at all. None. Zip. Zilch. Zero. And yet, even though he's the guy that you need to pitch around, he's the guy that you have to make sure doesn't beat you, he still beats you. It's been an amazing year for him. Hanrahan's one of the better closers in the game. He deserves to be there. Now, maybe an A.J. Burnett. And the Phillies, it's just about individuals. Hamels has had a really good year. Papelbon is one of the top closers in the game, and Ruiz has had a fabulous year and has been outstanding for them for a couple of years. Now, are the Pirates the better team? Yes, they are the better team. The better team in part because they have better balance on their pitching staff between starters that could probably go another inning or so more than they do go, but still good starters, really good bridge guys, and a great closer. McCutchen has nothing around him. Alvarez, kind of. Walker's good. The other 5 guys, you're kidding me. I can tell you right now, Neil Huntington's phone does not ring off the hook with people saying, you know, Presley, Tabata, Barajas, Barmas, available?
Jeez, that was a fast half hour.
It went blazing by. News at the bottom of the hour. Then we can't wait to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565 on 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Kevin is all disappointed because he won't get 10 seconds of runoff excitement tonight.
That's right. It would have been the fastest 10 seconds Monday night has ever seen.
No. 10 seconds is still 10 seconds. Maybe it'll be the most exciting 10 seconds.
You take all the fun out of things. Mr. Analytically correct stuff.
What? It's the most exciting 10 seconds. I heard somebody one time call the Kentucky Derby.
It's the fastest 2 minutes in sports.
Right. No, it's 2 minutes is 2 minutes.
I've heard that used before. This year, as a matter of fact.
Most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Oh, not the fastest.
Man, you just have to suck the fun right out of it.
Time is time, okay? You can't have a fast 2 minutes. It's 120 seconds, whatever it is. So, it may be the most exciting 2 minutes, or it may have been the most exciting 10 seconds.
So Sunday Night Football's halftime is, Monday Night Football's halftime is now not the fastest 2 minutes?
Hey, look, I mean, have you ever taken a tour of the place? It's not exactly, you know, Phi Beta Kappa over there. I mean, really? Come on.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
I'm just telling you.
By the way, there is one thing I dislike about the Olympics. London has the dumbest looking mascot next to Salt Lake City.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's like got a, it looks like some sort of space dude with one eye.
Okay. Why should we care?
We don't. Well, obviously you don't, but you're always on me about how I love the Olympics. Well, that's one thing I don't like.
It's a mascot. It's only supposed to be loved by kids.
Now, one of the best mascots was Izzy for the 96 Olympics. That was a cool-looking mascot.
Izzy?
Yeah. Yeah, it was short for what is it?
Okay, well, what was it?
That was the point. It really wasn't anything. His name was Izzy because they didn't know exactly what it was. It represented a lot of different things. It was kind of cool. I'll put it up on our webpage so you can look at it.
Sure. Why don't you do that? That'd be great.
Steve has now left the program. I have finally driven him from the show.
I'm just sitting here in a state of shock about what we're talking about.
Well, all right, you start. What's going on?
No, I'll continue to talk about this. What makes a great mascot?
Well, you had part of it. It's got to be appealing. It's got to be appealing to the younger demographic.
Okay.
It has to have a little flair to it, a little bit of flash, color.
Mm-hmm.
It has to represent in some form whatever it is that it's being the mascot of.
Well, maybe they're out of mascots and this is the best they could do.
Well, that might be, but why a spaceman? I mean, is England big in the space race that I don't know about?
No, but they have a lot of space cadets in the north. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
I just trying to understand it. All right, you go ahead and pick your topic. I'm going to go ahead and find a whole bunch of the Olympic mascot pictures so we can post them on our website.
You're going to post pictures of mascots on websites?
Oh, yeah.
Like the San Diego chicken?
No. Olympic mascots. Because that's what the conversation was about.
Yeah. What's the Steelers mascot?
They do not have one. They tried to make one, and it didn't take.
That's exactly right. What's the Packers mascot?
Cheese.
No. What's the Dodgers mascot? What's the Yankees mascot?
What is a Dodger? I mean, as far as they're concerned with why Brooklyn picked it.
It had to do with the nickname of kids that were jumping on and off of trolleys.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they tried. The Steelers tried Steely McBeam, and that just went bye-byes.
Right. What's the Yankee mascot?
Just a uniform. Yeah.
Exactly.
I take it you're proving a point.
Yes. Like the really good franchises. Don't need
a mascot? Okay.
No. It's just, you know, these are just things that sell in the gift shop.
No, there's no
and
question.
I get that. And I get that part. You know, and it's not like they aren't great mascots. The Philly Fanatic is a great mascot. But you disapprove of the London mascot.
Yes. Yes, it's a one-eyeballed thing. It has different forms.
It's like Mike and Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, I suppose. But he was a monster. He was supposed to look that way. This is a mascot. A mascot shouldn't be monstery.
Yeah, but he was Billy Crystal.
Well, he was funny.
That's right.
But that was only when he talked.
I mean, isn't this supposed to be about the sports?
Yes.
And you're all mad that they're not having a runoff tonight.
Well, I'm disappointed.
Your entire night is ruined because of they're not having a runoff.
I'm disappointed.
I see.
And by the way,
And what are the ratings for the Olympic trials right now?
I don't know. Good question.
They aren't good. Okay.
By the way, the Olympic 2012 mascot is defined as Blobs. Wenlock is the name of one. Let's see. Mandeville is the name of the other one. One has a square eye, the other has a round eye.
Which one has the square eye?
I believe that would be Wenlock has the square eye.
Wenlock, okay. Yeah.
Named after a Shropshire town. Shropshire town. I may be mispronouncing that badly. Huh. And Mandeville is after the hospital.
And this is your major concern?
No, this was just...
Would you rather watch the British Open or the Olympics?
The Olympics.
Let's see.
Again, it only happens once every 4 years. The British Open, however, I will watch, does happen every year.
I see. Well, the Phillies have made calls to gauge trade interest in Cole Hamels. All-star, 10-4, 3.08 ERA. He and the Phillies have made no progress toward agreeing on a new contract. Ruben Amaro told Fox Sports that he continues to try and keep Hamels. Our goal is the same as at the beginning of the year, to sign him and keep him long-term. Phillies are in last place. They traded first baseman pinch hitter Jim Thome so he can be an everyday DH with Baltimore. Team suggested that would not be the end of the sell-off. ESPN reported yesterday the Phillies are seeking four or five players for Hamels, one of the better left-handed pitchers in the game. CBSSports.com said they wanted at least three good young players. Meanwhile, Shane Victorino is being shopped.
No surprise.
Amaro mentioned earlier this season the possibility that Philly could be a seller and first floated Hamels' name to other clubs. Asked by FoxSports.com about reports of renewed trade discussions concerning Hamels, Amaro neither confirmed nor denied that they are taking place. I do not even discuss the information that is out there, nor those rumors or speculations. This is the time of the year where things will be out there. It is the nature of our sport and a product of the time of the year. CBSSports.com speculated the Phillies may be going beyond just gauging early interest in Hamels by getting trade talks started in case their struggles continue. However, the expansion of the playoffs this season, it's unlikely they're giving up in the race this early, but clearly they could be laying the groundwork for a deal at the non-waiver trade deadline of July 31st. Right now, they're 9 games under 500. They've lost 5 in a row. They're 11 games out of first. They're 7.5 out of the wild card. The Phillies were thought to have interest in retaining Hamels, but the Dodgers, under new ownership, have been seen as a major threat to sign Cole Hamels. So now they're talking about trading him. The Phillies, near the end of last season, suggested a contract extension along the lines of Jared Weaver's deal with the Angels, $85 million over 5 years, but Hamels is believed to be interested in a longer deal, perhaps one closer to C.C. Sabathia's 7-year, $160 million deal. Yes.
Well, my only question would be, is there anybody out there willing to make a trade for Cole Hamels knowing that it's maybe a 1-year deal?
Oh, I think there's a team out there that would love to have Cole Hamels and would have the ability to make it a multi-year deal.
I think the Pirates are a perfect opportunity.
The New York Yankees.
I know you were going to say that, but I think the Pirates have a perfect opportunity here.
To do what? They have nothing. What do they have the Phillies want? I can tell you they're in the anything.
Well, don't they have like the number, weren't they like 11th in minor league development?
They are, but it's mostly on the pitching side of it.
Well, that's not a big mistake for Philadelphia right now. They need somebody that can get middle inning relief done.
I mean, if I were them, I wouldn't be messing around. I would ask for Gerrit Cole. But the Pirates do not have the money to sign Cole Hamels. They don't.
That would be a one-year deal.
That's why they are not going to trade him to the Pirates. The Pirates don't have the paper. Or they're not willing to spend the paper. I can tell you that. This $85 million five-year deal with Weaver, the Pirates just went 6 years, $51 million with McCutcheon. They do not have the paper to make this a seven-year, $160 million deal. They just don't.
What about the Texas Rangers? You're talking about
$25 million a year. The Rangers are a possibility. They spent a lot of money on Yu Darvish. Spent a lot of money on Yu Darvish. They lost Wilson, right? And then Darvish replaced him. Now Oswalt's in there. Possibility. But a team that has the paper and a team that needs a starter right now with two of them out in Pettit and Sabathia, the New York Yankees. And they have prospects. It's the way it goes. That's, you know, these are the guys that make those kinds of deals. I mean, he's not going to go to the Reds. Not going to go to the Pirates. Not going to go to the Nationals. I mean, nobody wants to give up the kind of money. You have to pick out the teams that have the cash to do it. The teams that have the cash to do it are the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, Angels to a point. Red Sox aren't going to do it. Dodgers might want to do it. Angels have been burned already.
So Ruben Amaro says that he is not shopping Hamels. Is that what his quote?
No,
is that a quote or is that a paraphrase?
Let's see. What does it actually say here? Amaro mentioned earlier this year they could be a seller. Let's see.
I mean, the things that I've been reading.
He continues to try to keep Hamels. Our goal is right. To the same as it has been since the beginning, to keep him, sign him long term. Because, I mean, look, the guy would be the ace of the staff through 2020.
Well, Hamels' agent's John Boggs, and he says there's not a whole lot of talk going on.
On contract.
Right. On contract.
There rarely is during the season.
I think you'll find that Amaro has been not in so many words shopping him, but looking at interest and seeing who is interested. And
of course, he's gauging interest. I'd be gauging interest just to see what I could possibly get for him. But this is a little bit different than Doyle Alexander for a prospect. Doyle Alexander, of course, went from Atlanta to Detroit. And I think I want to say it's 1987. He went 13-1 for the Tigers and really was a key pitching them into the playoffs in 87. Where eventually I think the Twins beat them. And who did the prospect end up being in that trade?
I don't remember that one.
John Smoltz.
Was it really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. You get rarities like that. Red Sox down the stretch. Need a pitcher. I think it's 88. 88 or 90. So they get Larry Anderson from Houston. They needed a left-handed complement in the bullpen. Didn't really pitch that well for the Red Sox, despite a great ERA with Houston. They gave up a prospect in that deal. You know who that prospect was?
Who was that one?
Jeff Bagwell.
Not a bad prospect.
Didn't work. Didn't work. So, yeah.
Well, the Phillies are going to want at least four or five decent prospects for Hamels. I just wonder who is willing to make that move, because that is a definite this year move. You're playing for the now. And that's why I thought the Rangers, because that's been the one thing that they've been missing, is one more starter for their rotation to maybe get over the hump and win the World Series.
Right. See, but the Yankees going in with the idea they're going to just keep them. And the Rangers have money. I mean, they have money. They have cash. One 800 795 9565. Yeah, it makes the All-Star team 1 minute, and it's being talked about as Trey Bate the next. Steve Jones Show rolls on. What are you more anxious for? The Olympics or NFL training camp? That's on stevejonesshow.com. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you in part by Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com, Market Street in Sunbury. Lenape Solar sponsors our hotline at 1-800-795-9565 from the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury and Sunbury Motor Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Back with more after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. The finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Don't forget, we'll be taking you out to the shuffleboard venue in just a few moments.
The shuffleboard venue.
Tremendous.
By the way, best music ever for a sporting event has to go to John Williams for Summon the Heroes. NBC should use that for the next 20 years.
John Williams, very good. For a long time, he replaced Arthur Fiedler as the legendary director of the Boston Pops. You were in a state of shock.
You are a well-rounded man.
Saw Arthur Fiedler direct the Boston Pops. I've seen John Williams direct the Boston Pops in person. Was the perfect choice to replace the legend.
I have the whole album with the Boston Pops performing that.
And
some in the Air
Boston Force. Pops on the 4th of July will be performing at the Esplanade on the Charles River, on the banks of the Charles River, and they'll go to the 1812 Overture. And the touch that they add to the 1812 Overture are actual cannons firing.
Oh, it's classic.
I mean, really, and it's really cool. 1 year, I know somebody that performs for them. I gave them coordinates of a guy's house I didn't like.
Did it work? Maybe you shouldn't answer that.
Problem solved. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, just kidding. Just kidding.
Coordinates? You don't need coordinates. Just shoot.